理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 6. Preview. There is no easy way to face the death of the beloved. Whether the death is sudden or the inevitable result of a long illness, surviving friends and family members are seldom truly prepared for it emotionally. How much harder is it to bear when a particular individual is responsible for the death of someone you love, when death is self-inflicted, or when you see the death could have been prevented? The authors of the text in this unit struggle with their grief over deaths they see as part of larger social issues: alcohol in texts A and B, and tobacco in text C, and beg us to consider how such tragedies can be avoided.
Text A, Every 23 Minutes, by Linda Rettner. My husband and I went to a funeral a few weeks ago. The man we honored had not been ill and will never grow old. He was killed in his car on a Sunday night, driving home along a divided highway. It was an ordinary evening, no blacker than any other, when a car coming in the other direction went out of control, broke through the guardrail, and hit two other cars before smashing head-on into his. According to the newspaper, the driver, who was returning from a wedding, seemed puzzled. "I only had two bottles of beer and a cocktail," she is reported to have said. A wedding, followed by a funeral. I wish she could have been there to see all the lives her act has changed forever. The wife and four children, the extended family, the hundreds and hundreds of friends who sat in painful silence, listening to words which barely touched the depths of their grief. Strange to think that, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, this happens in America every 23 minutes. Somebody drinks, somebody drives, somebody dies. And other lives are altered forever, though sometimes the changes may be invisible to a casual observer. By chance, the day before the funeral, I ran into a long-time acquaintance while shopping. He commented on my crutches. I asked if he had ever broken his leg. I have a long rod in this thigh, he said, from a car accident 2 weeks after I came back from Vietnam. That's ironic. To leave a war zone and then get injured, I teased him. You're lucky it wasn't worse. Well, my wife was killed in the crash, and so was the wife of the driver, he said uncomfortably. We were hit by a drunk. I've known this man for years, yet suddenly realized there was a whole chapter of his life he'd never mentioned. I asked, and discovered he'd remained in the hospital 7 weeks, and all that time he'd known his wife was dead. It was hard to know where to go from there, for there are questions you can't put to someone in a casual conversation. Questions like, how could you bear it? Or what did you do about wanting revenge? I wish I knew the answers to those questions. I wish I could offer those answers to the woman who, overwhelmed by grief, could barely walk as she followed her husband's coffin from the church. Every 23 minutes, who dies? A mother who will never comfort the child who needs her. A woman who will never know how very much her friends depended on her. A man whose contributions to his community would have made a difference. A wife whose husband cannot picture the future without her. Every 23 minutes, who dies? A son who involuntarily abandons his parents in their old age? A father who can never acknowledge his children's accomplishments? A daughter who can never take back her angry words? A sister who will never be her sister's maid of honor? Every 23 minutes, who dies? a brother who will not be there to hold his newborn niece, a friend whose encouragement is gone forever, a bride-to-be who will never say her vows, an aunt whose family will fragment and fall apart. Every 23 minutes, who dies? A child who will never fulfill his early promise, an uncle who leaves his children without guidance and support, a grandmother whose husband must now grow old alone, a lover who never had a chance to say how much he cared. Every 23 minutes, a void opens. Someone looks across the table at a vacant chair, climbs into an empty bed, feels the pain of no voice, no touch, no love. Where there was once intimacy and contact, now there is only absence and despair. Every 23 minutes, a heart breaks. Someone's pain shatters the confines of her body, leaking out in tears, exploding in cries, defying all efforts to soothe the despair. Sleep offers no escape from the nightmare of awakening, and mourning brings only the irreversibility of loss. Every 23 minutes, a dream ends. Someone's future blurs and goes blank as anticipation fades into nothingness. The phone will not ring. The car will not pull up to the house. The weight of tomorrow becomes unbearable in a world in which all promises have been broken by force. Every 23 minutes, somebody wants to run. Somebody wants to hide. Somebody is left with hate. Somebody wants to die. And we permit this to go on every 23 minutes.
New words. Funeral.
Cocktail.
Painful.
Crutch.
Rod.
Thigh.
Zone.
Injure.
Injury.
Drunk.
Revenge.
Involuntarily.
Maid.
Niece.
Vow.
Fragment.
Guidance.
Vacant.
Intimacy.
Intimate.
Despair.
Shatter.
Confines.
Leak.
Defy.
Defiance.
Soothe.
Nightmare.
Irreversibility.
Fade.
Text B. Needed. A License to Drink. By Mike Brake. We buried my cousin last summer. He was 32 when he hanged himself from a closet coat rack because of the effects of alcoholism, the fourth of my blood relatives to die prematurely from this deadly disease. If America issued drinking licenses, these four men, including my father, who died at 54 of liver failure, might be alive today. Addiction to alcohol is one of the primary public health problems in the United States. It causes more than 19,000 auto fatalities each year. It is responsible for more than a third of deaths from drowning and fire. Drinking is a central factor in divorce. It can trigger child and spousal abuse, suicide, murder, assault, and other crimes. It can kill by the liver, the kidneys, the heart, the central nervous system. The total cost, from increased jail time to workplace injuries and lost productivity, is impossible to measure. But a conservative estimate is as high as $90 billion per year. As we look for ways to reduce health care costs, we must recognize that alcoholism is a big contributor to hospital admissions. I spent 2 years working as a counselor in a chemical dependency treatment center and met these statistics on a daily basis. I remember the bright young man who, because he passed out while smoking, lost both legs to terrible burns. the nurse with a master's degree who lost her license and became a prostitute. And there was the cheerful grandmother dying of liver failure with only a few weeks to live. Their families cared about them, but could do nothing. I've seen the helplessness in my own family. About two-thirds of adolescent and adult Americans drink alcohol. Of those, from 8 to 12% will become alcoholics or problem drinkers. Much is being done to confront this huge public health crisis as judges increasingly sentence drunk drivers and other alcohol-related offenders to treatment programs and participation in Alcoholics Anonymous. I propose that a national system of licensing with appropriate penalties would do more. Drivers are licensed by every state. There are licenses for fishing and hunting. Hunters are often required to attend gun safety classes before they can get their licenses. If you fail to keep to accepted norms, the state suspends your right to drive, hunt, or fish, and imposes criminal penalties should you violate that suspension. Although drinking licenses might seem a wild idea, I believe drastic measures are needed. Licensing drinking would acknowledge the growing medical agreement that roughly one drinker in 10 has a genetic inclination to addiction. In many cases, future alcoholics are dangerously unaware of their internal time bomb. They don't choose to become drunks, but once trapped in the disease, they can do enormous harm to others and themselves. Because some potential alcoholics wouldn't bother to apply for a drinking license, licensing would act as a screen, preventing a small percentage of the misery in advance. Those who do seek a license would follow a path similar to existing driver's licensing procedures. Applicants would be required to study a booklet containing basic information about alcohol and the law, much like the driver's manual we all memorized in high school. How many drinks does it take to get a 150-pound man drunk? What's the penalty for drunk driving? Have any of your blood relatives been treated for alcoholism or chemical dependency? If they have, you need to know that you're at increased risk for developing addiction. The next step would be to pass a written test. And only license holders would be able to buy alcohol, wine, and beer. A liquor store or bar caught selling to an unlicensed drinker would lose its license. The 90% of us who do not have a problem with alcohol would simply show our licenses at the counter, bar, or restaurant, in much the same way as driving to and from work each day with a driver's license. Most of the problem 10% would at some point face arrest on an alcohol-related offense. Once convicted, they'd lose their license. From that point on, attempting to buy or possess alcohol or being found with a detectable blood level of alcohol would subject them to criminal charges, with penalties comparable to those for drunk driving. Unlicensed drinkers who got drunk could be referred to treatment and to Alcoholics Anonymous. Doctors are required to report cases of dangerous contagious diseases, like AIDS, as public health hazards. They should also be required to report the medical diagnosis of alcoholism. If a patient is admitted to a chemical dependency treatment center, his drinking license would be suspended. Physicians would report people who show signs of alcoholism after having their licenses revoked, just as social agencies report parole violators. The objective would be treatment. If the offenders refuse to be treated, they would be unable to get their licenses renewed. A commonly accepted rule of civilized society is that when public health is threatened, privacy rights must be compromised. Americans rarely die of plague because we have identified its source. Infectious carriers are isolated and offered compassionate and life-saving treatment. The same criteria should apply to alcoholism, a disease that is the third leading cause of preventable death in this country. the cost inflicted by 18 million drunks on themselves and on our society are unacceptable. Congress and the state should cooperate by providing for national drinking licenses, encouraging treatment for those afflicted, and imposing firm penalties on violators. It's not such a crazy idea.
New words. Closet.
Rack.
Alcoholism.
Prematurely.
Premature.
Deadly.
Liver.
Addiction.
Fatality.
Fate.
Divorce.
Spousal.
Spouse.
Assault.
Kidney.
Jail.
Conservative.
Admission.
Counselor.
Chemical dependency.
Statistics.
Statistic.
Statistic.
Prostitute.
Adolescent.
Alcoholic.
Crisis.
Penalty.
Suspend.
Suspension.
Inclination.
Incline.
Internal.
Percentage.
Procedure.
Applicant.
Booklet.
Dependency.
Liquor.
Convict.
Detectable.
Comparable.
Hazard.
Revoke.
Parole.
Civilized.
Civilize.
Plague.
Infectious.
Infect.
Infection.
Carrier.
Compassionate.
Compassion.
Criterion.
Congress.
Cooperate.
Afflict.